Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Welcome to Four Down Territory. As Stink and Mike take a look at the four biggest stories in Denver sports. Here's Schlereth and Evans kicking it off with First Down.
Mahomes stepping up. He's going to scramble 15. He's at the 10. Cuts back inside the 5. Mahomes rolls into the end zone. Touchdown! Kansas City! A 14-yard scramble for a touchdown.
Chiefs Radio, this may have been one of the biggest statistical anomaly games you'll ever see. Kansas City had 29 first downs. The Titans had 9. The Titans were 1 for 11 on third down. The Titans had 57 yards passing. The Chiefs had 422. Patrick Mahomes completed 43 passes. And the Chiefs had to huff and puff and scramble and rally just to win in overtime.
How
did the Titans stay alive? What does this mean for the Broncos next Sunday?
Well, I mean, I don't know what it means for the Broncos, but I will say this about the Titans. They're physical. They're going to run the ball. They're old school. Mike Vrabel has got an old school football team. And he believes in that. I mean, I had them earlier this year. We talked about just, hey, man, it's football. You got to be tough. You got to hit people. You got to play together. He's just an old school football coach. And you're going to have to earn it. When you play the Tennessee Titans, you're going to have to earn it.
Well, when they did the predictions before the game on NBC, everybody took the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Dungy took the Titans to win. And he said, line of scrimmage. Titans will dominate both lines of scrimmage, and that'll be the difference.
Yeah.
It almost was.
Right.
He almost looked like a genius. Still looks like a genius, honestly. Next and four down.
Second down.
I feel like those plays, like, it makes, you know, two people happy. Like, you know me, I feel like it just makes me happy when I make my shots. But, you know, you get an assist, and I feel like he it's a connection now. Like, dang, we balling now.
Did you know that that's Joker's favorite saying?
No.
That pass makes two people happy.
He says that.
He says that.
Oh, that's hard. See, just like that. Crazy.
Bones Highland, the first 14-year-old to play in the NBA.
Yeah.
No, I love Bones Highland.
He's great.
That's a great assault, brother.
That's a great. He's so infectious. His personality, so. I mean, you just hear it. How can you not be just like love the guy? The dude can play.
Does he sound a little bit? Maybe in the break, Johnny, you can do me a favor. Can you put some Bone Highland sound together next to Chris Tucker? Maybe from one of those.
Yes.
One of those.
Yes. Yes. Good call.
Him in the Jackie Chan movies.
Good call.
Yeah, I gotta give it. I wonder if Chris still has the same number. Anyhow.
Bones Highland, 24.7 assists. Loves those assists.
Yeah, right? What do you say? You make two people happy.
Happy. That's how Joker feels. Hey,
yeah.
Whatever Joker feels, you feel. Whatever
That's
Joker
right.
does, you try to do.
That's right.
And the Nuggets got a 126-101 win over the Spurs rematch tonight in San Antonio. See if the Nuggets can go
you
in
call
there.
It San Antonio or San Antonio?
San Antonio, but you know sometimes San Antonio. San Antonio, you know.
Yeah,
remember the Alamo? That kind of thing.
The Alamo was in San Antonio.
Yeah, I was there for a Final Four one time.
I thought you were.
I was at the Alamo.
At the Alamo. You, Butch Cassidy, and the Sundance Kid.
Next, four down.
Third down.
This is the greatest bunch of guys. They told me in spring training that they're going to win it. Now, what's next? Party. Yeah.
Dusty Baker. You got to feel as much as, look, Philly, you had one job. Don't let Houston win. No, nobody in America wanted Houston to win, but Houston wins. But as I was watching the game and I was watching the celebration and I saw just the just the unabashed happiness for Dusty Baker. All right, I started to feel better about it. You love to see great baseball people like that get rewarded. And for all the years he's managed and all the wins and everything like that, he never won a World Series. So good for him.
Absolutely. It was great for him. And I was really excited to see that for him. And you know, it was that part was awesome. Again, you know, I mean, analytics. And yeah, I did Washington last week and Taylor Heinicke. Like, forget analytics, right? That's why you love sports. That guy's not tall enough. He's not got a big enough arm. He's not whatever enough. And he just scrambles around and does things, you know? And it's just funny. I thought Zach Wheeler's dominating. Hadn't given up, what did he give? Wait, I don't think he'd given up a run, Eddie, when they pulled him out and the next guy gives up the three-run shot.
Boy.
Yeah.
Alvarez.
He's dominating 5 1/3, and you know he gets a little traffic, and then they pull him.
I know.
I hate the way, like, dude is sitting at 98, and he's just cutting people up. I just don't.
Nerds.
A lot of times. W.
Yeah.
Tonight it didn't happen.
Nerds. Next in 4 down.
1, 2, 3.
Fourth down.
The energy in the building was fantastic. I mean, I'm spoiled because our fans in Colorado over the last few years have been exceptional. And, you know, we haven't been home a lot this season. I remember the playoffs, you know, and the buzz around town and that energy. But I kind of feel like, you know, Finland has that sort of energy and buzz pregame at the rink. It's all like everyone's really lively and talkative and everyone's having a good time and here to have a good time, which is the way it should be.
Hey, look, if you're going to go all the way around the world to play a couple of hockey games and throw your whole schedule out of whack for 2 weeks, you might as well win them both.
Right.
And that's what the Avalanche did in dominating fashion. 2 wins over Columbus, outscored them 11-4 in the process. Bank 4 points. Come on back home.
Yeah.
Job well done.
Great. You go out there, you get 2 wins, you hang with the Finnish people. They're awesome. You eat a lot of reindeer.
Yep. Yeah. Salmon soup. Yep.
Salmon soup. You know, I mean, who doesn't love reindeer and salmon soup?
What a combination.
Mm.
So congratulations to the Avalanche, but sadness for the Avalanche family and everybody who's a hockey fan, everybody who's had a chance over the years to come across the great Peter McNabb, who passed away over the weekend at the age of 70 after a long battle with cancer. And we send our thoughts and our prayers out to the entire McNabb family, the entire Avalanche family, and anybody in our business who had the chance to work with Peter. And I know I was lucky enough for, well, the whole time I've been out here, 25 plus years, we had the Avs for a long time and haven't had a chance to talk hockey with him numerous times, but just what a wonderful, wonderful man to be around. And if you paid attention to social media yesterday and all the tributes that came in, the one constant in every single tribute that was expressed about Peter McNabb was how wonderful of a person he was.
Yeah.
And I want to echo that because, my goodness, just never, ever. And I'm not. This is not hyper. I never, ever saw that guy in a bad mood. Never. Always in a good mood. Always a smile on his face. Always excited to be around the rink. Eager to talk hockey. And, boy, he is going to be missed. What a huge impact. What a legend in this town. That'll do it for 4 Down Territory, our tour around the Denver sports scene. Coming up next, reflections, observations of a weekend, a Sunday on the couch watching the NFL. Next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Observations from the couch. I would assume many of you spent your Sunday on a couch yesterday watching the NFL.
Was it cold and windy? Like it is windy today.
Yeah, it was a great day to be inside. Great day to be inside,
dude. It was beautiful. I mean, it was nation's capital. It was like 75 degrees yesterday.
Made myself a nice Bloody Mary. Sat down.
Did you know?
11 a.m. Scott Hansen, Hugh Sky, ready to watch Red Zone. Did not move. Well, occasionally, but but very rarely move for the entire afternoon. It was glorious. So, some observations.
Okay.
I'll share some of mine. Get to some of yours on the text line, 303-713-1043. It was one of those days where the struggles of Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett, and this offense, I didn't feel as bad about them. Because let me tell you something. Josh Allen played like crap.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Rodgers played like crap. Derek Carr played like crap. Tom Brady, until the last 50 right. seconds,
yeah.
played like crap. Matthew Stafford played like crap. Patrick Mahomes scored 20 points. Justin Herbert scored 20 points. Kirk Cousins scored 20 points. Other than the only quarterback and offense when it came to throwing the football that made it look easy, one team, Miami. Guys, quarterback Tua is being protected. Guys are running great routes. Guys are getting open. Tua is getting making terrific decisions. He's getting rid of the ball quickly, accurately. That's the only offense that I saw that just looked like an easy, free-flowing NFL offense. Everybody else struggled.
Well, the Bengals put up.
Yeah, but that was the Joe Mixon show.
Right, yeah, 153 yards on 22 attempts.
I mean, Joe Burrow was efficient. He was 22 of 28 for 206 yards.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad offensive football.
Yeah.
And there's a real lack of explosive football, especially in the passing game.
Yeah.
Especially in the passing game. The only team that really makes it look easy that I saw yesterday, correct me if I'm wrong, folks, was Tua and the Dolphins.
Yeah. And they are doing such a...
In the passing game.
Yeah, they're doing such a... Well, they've got such dynamic, you know, players where, you know, you hit a crossing route, you hit a shallow cross, and this is where teams are making a living right now, the shallow and the low cross stuff, because everybody's playing that kind of quote-unquote cover four, and it's a catch-and-run scenario. That's what you're trying to get, a little jerk route underneath, bam. You hit a guy, and you hope he breaks a tackle and takes a 7-yard catch and makes it a 23-yard explosive. It is really what you're trying to do, and they've got guys in Waddle, they've got guys in Hill that can make those things. I mean, they can catch one underneath and take it the distance, and plus they can get over the top of people because they're just so damn fast. So they are that one team right now, and Tua.
But there are a lot of other good receivers out there,
yeah,
who are not getting open or who are not on the same page with their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Davante Adams put up really huge big numbers in the first half. But then the Raiders got shut down in the second half. All these teams, they scored 20 points.
Tyreek Hill had 7 catches for 143 yards. Yeah. Tua, 21 of 30, 70% completion percentage, 302 yards.
Now, Justin Fields ran the ball very well.
Yeah.
He ran for like 178, 168 yards.
I'm
talking about the passing games around the NFL. Bad.
Well, and I've told you this, man. I've talked to so many coaches about this over the course of the last 7-8 weeks. Just about how everybody, and it started with Kyle Shanahan in week two. Kyle Shanahan just said flat out, everybody's playing the Vic Fangio defense. And the big plays just aren't happening. They're just not. Now, when you play that defense, Mike, you know what that means? That means your run support is coming from 12 yards deep. Your safety, your extra defender in the box from that rotation is coming from 12 yards deep. So, you know, all these teams, this is interesting. All these teams that don't really want to run it, you know the types, right? They don't really want to run it because ultimately you want big plays in this. You've got to be able to run it. You've got to be able to control the clock. You've got to get that safety down where they have to start to commit that so you can get that big play over the top. But if you're truly not committed to doing it and you don't like it, you know, most, the most, they'll, they'll, they'll give the obligatory, okay, here's a handoff, here's a handoff. Now let's, like.
So the Vic Fangio defense is based on the idea that we will give you the run all you want to, but we're counting on the fact that your ego will not allow you to try to win that way. Even if we'll give it to you.
Yeah, I think what they're saying is, hey, we want to play really good run defense with a lighter box. I mean, we don't want to commit an extra guy down there. And so we've got to train our safeties to really recognize their run keys and then just roll down from 12 yards and go get it. But, yeah, bottom line, what they're saying is we don't think that you'll have the patience or the, you know, just the stick-to-itiveness to continue to pound it down our throats and make us get out of this.
So when you think about when the Broncos first made the deal for Russell Wilson, what was the first thing we talked about that we couldn't wait to see when it came for this offense?
Big plays.
The big plays.
The big throws over the top.
The idea that Russell Wilson might be the best deep ball thrower in the NFL. But yet you have an NFL defensively, group-wide, that's saying, nope, we're not going to give you that anymore.
Yeah. And we're just going to let you run up and down between the 20s. We no longer care. You know, and I've talked to several defensive coordinators. I know we got a role, but that basically said yards don't matter. The idea of having a number one defense based on yards, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Yards don't matter.
Okay, we'll go around the division. Observations from the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Raiders. Where's Raider Nation this morning? Conspicuous by your silence. What's trending next?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with What's Trending right now.
Holding it. Now he's going to sprint for the far side at the pylon. Did he get in? And they give it to him for a two-point scramble at the far front pylon.
Chiefs radio. Chiefs got it done. I just don't know if throwing the ball 68 times and having Patrick Mahomes be your leading rusher with over 60 yards and the next two guys, Pacheco and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, each finished with five yards rushing. I can't imagine, as great as Patrick Mahomes is, that's a formula for winning a Super Bowl.
I'm here.
I tell you what, they just lean on, it just goes to show you that guy's greatness. He's unbelievable. Because how many other guys can just be, hey, it's all on you, 100%, now go. I get that he's got great players around him, but that's a horrible formula. But listen, who am I? I mean, they keep winning.
But to your point, what we were just talking about, the idea behind the Vic Fangio defense that so many teams are employing is the idea that we'll give up yards,
right?
But we're not going to give you the explosive play.
Right.
You're going to have to go down the field and earn it. And so, we're going to count on the fact that your ego as a coach, that you want to win, but you want to win your way.
Right.
And these coaches want to win the football. Yeah.
By the way, Johnny, can you play the first 2 seconds of that soundbite again? Because I thought it was something different when you first played it. I thought it was different. Let's see.
Mahomes holding it. Now he's going to sprint for the far side of the pylon.
When I heard holding it, I thought about DK Metcalf. That's the first thing I thought. Holding it.
You would.
Yeah.
You would.
I know that feeling.
Incomplete pass. There are no flags. The ball goes over on downs. Darius Williams had the coverage, and the Jags take over.
Hey, Mike. You know it's really, really quiet around here?
What would that be, Mark?
Raider fan. Remember when Raider fan was winning the AFC West and everybody... Speaking of which,
they were peacocking. What is it? What happens when a peacock shows the feathers there?
The plume?
The plume?
Yeah.
Oh, they were in full plume off season.
I tell you what, I got to get all a matter of fact, I need to go on a little tour. Maybe I need to make some videos of all the Raider fans just puffing out their chests.
Ooh.
Just Raiders. And they were up like 17-0. And then pooped in their helmets. Does that just makes my heart sing. I better wait, though, in case I get this Raiders-Denver game. I better, before I start peacocking.
Yeah, don't right. Yet. Yeah, don't yet.
Yeah.
Because there's still a chance. Because we talked about this before the season. What Bronco games could you possibly get this year? And there's three Fox games that the Broncos have coming up in the second half. Home against Vegas on November 20th. At Carolina on the 27th, and then home against Arizona on December 18th. I'm convinced you'll get at least two of those three games.
So I'm waiting. I could get that game. It could pop up in my email. I'll keep checking.
Keep checking.
Because it could pop up in my email at any minute.
Raiders. Raiders. I can't believe Josh McDaniels has got them spiraling.
Hurricane Josh, we warned you. Raider Nation, we warned you. You didn't listen.
Yeah.
I feel like Seattle fan right now.
Well, here's the
deal. Now I know how Seattle fan
here's
feels.
The deal.
We warned you.
Yeah, that is true. Seattle fan did try to warn us. They did try to warn us, and we didn't listen.
We didn't listen.
That's on us. That's on us.
Well, George Payton didn't listen.
Next in four down.
Here's in motion. Patterson reaches across, his second touchdown today.
All right, Fox there with the highlight. Despite Atlanta putting up a good fight, despite the Chargers being ravaged with injuries, no Keenan Allen, no Mike Williams, they found a way. They found a way. They beat
right.
The Falcons 20-17.
They still have Austin Ekeler.
They still have Austin Ekeler.
He's a good player. And they still have Herbert.
Still have Herbert. Still have some good players on defense.
What's their record right now? Like 4-3?
5-3.
5-3?
And, you know, it's good to play a team like Atlanta because you've got Atlanta. I mean, Atlanta's just going to... Talk about a team you can't trust. God bless you.
Yeah, Atlanta's a good team, but they've got to win. There's a certain way they have to win. Got to run the ball. They're not... And I don't know what Marcus Mariota did, but they weren't... Early in the season, not a real dynamic passing team. Got rid of Ridley in a trade. Just not a real dynamic passing team. Don't get over the top very much. They've got to win, like I said, a certain way. 120.
Mariota missed some real... He had a couple of throws that if he just makes an accurate NFL throw,
yeah,
they're touchdowns.
129 yards, 5.6 yards an attempt. 52% completion. Yeah, I mean, they when you run the ball as effectively as they did, right? Algier, the running back, 10 carries, 99 yards. He had 9.9 yards per carry. For Cordarrelle Patterson, like, they ran it 30 plus times. And you still only have 129 yards pass. Yeah. Come on, yeah. You got to be better than
that. But this is why I always talk about how quarterbacks, you know, make receivers better than they really are. And Herbert, to his credit, he won with Joshua Palmer, DeAndre Carter, Michael Bandy, man, Ekeler, and Gerald Everett. That's it.
Yeah.
Got it done with a bunch of spares.
Here's a snap to Brady. Fakes to Fournette. 60 yards!
Yeah. CBS. So, watching that game yesterday, and, you know, Romo. Romo loves himself some TB12. And he's like, hey, you know, never count out Tom Brady. Never count out Tom Brady. He's still Tom Brady. I'm like, dude. Tony, I love you, but dude's washed.
We're still here!
And then, inexplicably.
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere. After just looking like crap the entire day, ably assisted by your boy McVay, who just, I don't know what he was doing on that last drive defensively, but Tampa goes right down the field with like 50 seconds and no timeouts and scores easily.
So would you like
easily?
Would you like to apologize to me and admit that Brady is not washed? Come on, dude. By the way, how do you have Brady throw it 58 times?
There's nothing wrong with his arm.
58 times.
Like, what? Peyton Manning physically couldn't throw a football anymore at the end.
Yeah.
That's just the way it was. No. But there's nothing wrong with Brady being able to throw a football.
No. No, he still has no issues with it. You see the run game coordinator basically call out the offensive coordinator in Tampa?
No.
Yeah, they asked about the running game. He goes, there are plenty of runs in there. We've got some really good runs. It's just up to the other guy to call them.
Oh.
Well, yeah, there is.
Uh-oh.
There is. They may need Bruce Arians to come out of the booth and start cracking.
Maybe he does.
Cracking skulls.
Well, if
scandalous.
Well, if it's okay with Tom, then Bruce can come back.
Okay. All right. Okay. Is that how it works?
Okay. It's okay with Tom. Tom didn't want Bruce around this year. So if it's okay with... If it's okay, I don't buy that.
So far, you've been wrong about every quarterback you've talked about. So.
All right. That is what is trending around the AFC West and beyond. Coming up next, observations from the couch. What stood out to you as you watched NFL Sunday? That's next.
Loosen up those joints and muscles. It's time for your 7:45 stretch. Here's Schlereth and Evans with the biggest story in Denver sports.
Observations from the couch. You had an NFL Sunday where I presume you were able to just kind of sit back, relax, watch a lot of NFL football, watch the games, watch Red Zone. So what were the observations? I like this one. After watching a full day of Sunday NFL, I wish I was with Russ in Cabo. Boring. Another one. Sunday was another wasted day of football watching. I'm changing my football watching behavior. I'm changing my day to Saturday. Much more exciting than the NFL's excuse for football. Yuck. You know, it hasn't shown up in the ratings yet, but I'm curious to watch because it's not good football.
College isn't good football.
But at least it's high scoring. It's exciting.
So you add in
the atmosphere of the.
So that's
I'm a pro guy. I've always been an NFL guy. If you force me to choose, I'll always go NFL, and I will still be an NFL guy. But I have to admit that, and we've been talking about this for a while now. You and I were on this first. NFL scoring is down to a level it hasn't been in over a decade. And yesterday was another day. I mean, you had all of the, many of the top elite quarterbacks that were struggling to score 20 points.
Yeah, I understand that. Here's what I don't understand, though. Like, people say in the college football, like the pageantry. Dude, that's big business. Those coaches are making $12 million a year. Right? I mean, those conferences are making all kinds of money. Now there's NIL deals and everything else. I mean, so let's put aside the pageantry and the passion and all the baloney. That's a money-making entity just like the NFL is, okay? So I'll put that to rest. So you guys would rather watch a 48-10, 56-26 blowout than a one-score game? Every weekend, where there is some great defense, there are some great that part I don't understand. So, whatever. I get that the scoring is down in the NFL, but I like the game. I like the one score. I like the any given Sunday. You don't know who's going to win these damn things. I kind of like the parity.
If you can hang in there for the first 56 minutes of football. Okay, you'll get rewarded with at least a close finish.
Right.
But, dude, hang in there for the first 56 minutes of football. It's not good. And it's funny because being able to just watch a full day of NFL football and watch other teams, watch other quarterbacks, I actually came away feeling better about what I've been watching with the Broncos all year because it's endemic around the NFL. Yeah. There's a lot. I mean, You're looking at quarterback. Hey, sometimes as bad as things are right now with Russell Wilson, or as disappointing, as underachieving as things have been with Russell Wilson, you know what? Thank goodness we did not make the deal for Aaron Rodgers. Because with Aaron Rodgers, you're looking at a guy who is just as bad. His offense is just as bad, and he's much older, and he looks like a guy who really, whereas Russ, whatever you may feel about Russell Wilson, at least I still feel he is motivated to go out and play football. Right. Now, how well he plays football, that's to be seen. But at least he looks like he's motivated. I was talking to a Packer friend of mine over the weekend. He said, I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers walks away after this year.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly isn't good. Yeah, I wonder, because I don't think it happened right away. And this is just kind of the way I think, Mike, is this last collective bargaining agreement where we've basically taken out all the practice, taken out all the pads, taken out all the contact, taken out all the offseason, taken out everything, right? And the owners haven't given up any money. We're not giving up money. What we're giving you guys is time. And, you know, that wasn't a big deal when everybody on your roster had 6 or 7 years in. But all those guys are retiring. All those guys have gotten old. And you know what you're seeing? I think a lot of what you're seeing is a bunch of players, especially line of scrimmage players, that grew up in a league that you don't actually work on your skill. Because you can't. Because you're locked out of the locker rooms, you're locked out of practice facilities, you're locked out of actual practice. And these are the unintended consequences that happen to you over a period of time when you make concessions because you're greedy and you want to hold all the money, so you make concessions that hurt the product. And it hasn't hurt the product over the last several years, but I think it's starting to come to that.
Texter writes in, entertain me, Mike rears his ugly head again. Who cares about skill on the defensive end? Texter, if you think this is just me, entertain me, have you paid attention to the NFL over the last 20 right. years? This is a league that will not hesitate to immediately start changing rules in the offseason to what? Facilitate more offense. The NFL gets it. They understand chicks dig the long ball.
Right.
People want offense. The whole game has been geared to it, and it would appear that it took a while, but it would appear the NFL has caught up defensively. NFL defenses have caught up. And you know what the NFL will do if it starts to be reflected in the TV ratings or anything like that? I guarantee you, watch what happens during the offseason. Watch the way the rules are tweaked once again to open up the offense.
That's one of the things they always do. They consistently tweak the rules to create more offense. So that'll be something they do, Mike. And you're 100% right about that. And people do. They want to see offense. I mean, you know, the game I called, Minnesota drives down the very first drive of the game, score a touchdown. They're like, oh, we're in for a good one, right? Then it goes punt fest. I mean, they just nothing but punts for the rest of the half. Eventually, Washington gets a couple of breaks, blah, 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 17-7 with 14 minutes left in the fourth quarter. I mean, we've done, literally nothing has been done. And then all of a sudden, you know, you sit there and you say, hey, man, you got to think about possessions. If you're Minnesota, you got 3 possessions left. So we're going to have to score, you know, it's 17-7, a 2-score game. You got to score on 2 of your 3 possessions. And, you know, so it's one of those situations where all of a sudden they put a couple of drives together, they score, and then it comes down to situational football. And that's one of the things I love about where the NFL is right now. It's about how you manage the time, how you manage the clock, especially the end of halves. And Minnesota gets stymied with about a minute and whatever left. They have to kick a field goal. And this guy named John Ridgeway lines up in the A-gap on the side of the center who's snapping, and then just plows him over. It's illegal. Four more downs. Minnesota just basically sits on the ball. You know, four, they don't even try to score. Eat up the clock. There's 12 seconds left. They kick a field goal and win it. And so you talk about Washington, just a boneheaded, stupid mistake by a rookie that cost him an opportunity to win a game or to go down and tie it with a field goal. Like, and it's those things that I find, like, I find that entertaining because you got to think along with the coaches, right? But I understand people want to see. I mean, I'm sure people that overtime game against Kansas City, even though Patrick Mahomes threw it, 68 times or whatever? I'm sure people were bored with that because it was 17-17 going into the overtime.
I'm being lectured here by clearly somebody who played at a very high level.
Mm-hmm.
Evans, low-scoring games that people like you don't like show you have never played the game.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Listen, Texter, 99% of people who support and watch the NFL, 99% of them never played beyond high school. Okay? So this is a league that is based on the idea that offense sells. And it's if you think that the NFL loves low scoring football, then you haven't been paying attention to the NFL over the last 20 years.
Right.
If the NFL loves low scoring football, why at every turn do they change the rules to facilitate more scoring?
Right. No,
if people love low scoring games, you're wrong. Texter, right. You're wrong.
Let me add on to that because it's not even about that. Just change the rules. There's a whole industry, a multi-billion dollar industry, Mike, billion dollar industry based on fantasy football.
Great point.
What's fantasy football based on?
Scoring.
Wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks. Come on. Where do you pick your defense? Round 12.
Right.
Round 12. I'll take. Come on. Yeah. I mean, seriously. You haven't been paying attention. It is the whole league is based on a video game, for crying out loud. Madden football. How much can you score? The kids I talk to today, when I go into these production meetings, Mike, they don't have any, for the most part. And this is not, I'm not old dude right now, Johnny. I'm not bagging on millennials, okay? I'm not. Because it's not their fault. They didn't grow up watching the game, loving the game, you know, researching the game, knowing the history of the game. They grew up and fell in love with football because they like to play and they love Madden football. And the NFL has made a conscious effort to make their product look as much like the video game as possible. I'm kidding you not. That's the influence. Fantasy football, the video game, Madden football, that's what influences the rules and the way we play the game. So the texture, I understand because I love hard-nosed football. I love a defensive strike. Because I see things that, you know, I mean, that to me are interesting. But the general public, that's not how they were raised on football. They were raised on fantasy football and Madden, and they want to see scores.
So there's a reason why quarterback, up until this year, the idea has always been you have to have the quarterback. You have to have the quarterback.
Right.
If you want to have any chance, you have to have the quarterback. Because all the rules are designed to favor the quarterback, right?
Sure.
Is it that important then when you look up and you see Justin Herbert scores 20? Aaron Rodgers scores 9.
9 against Detroit.
Josh Allen scores 17. Kirk Cousins scores 20. Derek Carr scores 20. Kyler Murray scores 21. Matt Stafford scores 13. Tom Brady scores 16. Patrick Mahomes scores 20 in overtime.
Yeah, dude, that is not. I mean,
and we're into week.
Yeah,
you got teams that are playing now 8-9 games, so you can't just pass this off as well. You know, nobody practices, nobody plays in the preseason. The first 3 or 4 weeks is just simply an extension of preseason. We're week 8, week 9.
for these teams. And they're still struggling.
You think the NFL could ever go back?
Go back to what?
Go back and say, hey, listen, guys, you know, we're going to split the pie up a little bit differently. We're going to give you guys an extra 2% as players, but we want some practice time back. We want some actual contact back.
It's 1 year.
Right.
Okay, it's 1 year where scoring is down to levels we haven't seen in over a decade. It's 1 year so far. It's half a year.
Right.
I think we have to see more evidence before we start saying this is the way it is.
The one thing about college football, and that'll never change, is they'll always be lopsided. They'll always have that offensive explosion. And you say, well, why can't that happen in NFL football? Because in NFL football, everybody is actually good. Everybody is fairly equal when it comes to roster construction. In college football, there are five teams in this country that dominate. Like, they just dominate. Those are the teams we put on television. That from a, you know, from the standard of the kind of players they have, that they've got all the good players. And the teams they play just can't match them athletically.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.